Morena, morena. How are we doing? Great to see you all the way here from Brizzy. I'm not. I want to be on a day like today. I had to get all respectable, but if you saw me in my office before, I had my big trench coat on in my office working away earlier today. But it wasn't as cold when I came into work early this morning as I thought it would be. I was expecting to walk out and turn into an ice block within a second, but it was actually really, really mild, and then it got a bit colder here. How are we doing? Yeah, everyone good? This King's Birthday weekend, the very first King's Birthday weekend that we have ever lived through. Isn't that crazy? I don't know, 70 years ago. No, I don't think so somehow. I don't think so. Yeah. Happy birthday, Peter. You don't look a day older than when I saw you earlier this morning. And forever a good-looking bloke, friendly bloke. Yeah. As honest as the day is long. Hey, I want to speak this morning. I'll just start off with some prayer and then I'll speak. So I'm going to read from Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 6, and it says this: "But when you go to pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they love to be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." I'll pray. Father, we thank you for the scripture. We thank you that you give us guidance on how to pray effectively. And I just pray that as we look at this topic and the subject and then pray at the end of the service, that you would be with us and you'd give us great insight, great tips, and Holy Spirit, that you would work with us and be with us. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. So this week I've been thinking about prayer. I think about prayer a lot, actually. I'm sure you all do. What is prayer? How do we do it? When do we do it? It's all good stuff to think about, isn't it? And so I've been kind of pondering it and thinking about it. And I don't know about you, but I want to know, I think as you get older, you start to ponder and you start to think about things a bit more, and you start thinking, I want to be more effective than I was 5 years ago, or I want to pray and see something happen in a more effective way than happened previously. And so you start spending more time trying to be a little bit more intentional and trying to just tap into God and glean as much wisdom as we can from God to become more effective in our own walks. That said, there's always the fact that it's not by our efforts, but by God's. You know, and so we're always living in this tension of wanting to be diligent, wanting to do more, wanting to play our part, but realizing that really we have no power to ultimately do it, you know, other than it's by God. So when we're praying for healings, when we're praying for breakthroughs and situations and that, it's God that actually is the one who does it. But I like to do my bit so that God honors my bit and does his bit in accordance with his will. Thank you. She's very kind and very encouraging, isn't she? She's wonderful. She is my wife. And she's wearing a very nice shade of green today, can I say? Hadley, who did you say won the Irish? Oh, the Scottish. Yeah? That was more Irish, I think, but never mind. I'll move on because I'm going to digress. So some years ago, I think I was in my late teens, so I'm going back about 35, 40 years ago. I remember I went to this church meeting. It was a midweek meeting, and I mean, God has got to value that for a start, that we come out midweek, right? So there I was at a church meeting in Palmerston North midweek, and there was an Australian. I don't know if he was from Brizzy or Sydney or Melbourne or Cairns or where, but he was there, and he did some teaching on prayer, and in particular the Lord's Prayer. And his whole message was around making prayer times and your quiet times, unlocking the Lord's Prayer so that we could actually use the Lord's Prayer and understand what Jesus actually meant to actually use it in our quiet times and or our prayer times with God and talking with God. And I found it fascinating, and it really did unlock a bunch of stuff that really has changed the way I approach prayer and the way I pray with God and the way I approach a whole bunch of stuff. And that, so I thought we would go through the Lord's Prayer, and I'll just give some thoughts. I can't remember everything that was covered because it was 35, 40 years ago, and I probably didn't take notes like I should have back then, though I did take notes. So I'll just work through. At the end, we're going to pray for Pip, and I'll tell you why in a while. So this is then how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The whole background when we come to this verse is what? What's the first thing that jumps out at you? Who is he? He's our Father. This prayer is coming out of a relationship with the living God. He is our Father. He is not a rock. He is not a lectern. He's not some God on another planet, across the sea, somewhere. He is our Father we're praying to. We're praying to someone who has adopted us as his kids, and he is our Father. And so we are praying out of this very, very powerful situation where we are coming to our Father. And so he's on our side for a start. I think we need to realize that he is our Father. He's wanting to grant the requests of his kids right at the start. He's listening. He's like, when we take time to talk to him, he's like, whoa, Bruce McKivitt saying something. Whoa, let's listen, you know. Aaron's saying something, another McKivitt. Let's listen, you know. He is the God of heaven. He's the creator of this world. He spoke this world into being. He's powerful. He's infinitely powerful. He's the name above all names. He's the God above all gods. You know, he's a God above heaven. He's a God of heaven. He's created everything below it. There is no power that is higher than him. There is no spirit, no angel, no demon, no nothing at all that is more powerful than him. So when we come to our Father who art in heaven, we are talking to the most powerful entity in this universe. And it's out of this that we enter our prayer time. Our Father who art in heaven. He's above us. So isn't that a cool place to start? I feel better already. Don't you? I feel much better to pray the next part. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. So this is focusing on God's will and our ways. And what it's saying is, I recognize that there is a difference between this earth and heaven and your ways and our ways. And it's actually asking God to bring this into alignment. Our goal is, and as Jesus taught in that, is about bringing our ways into submission with him. And Jesus, you know, I'm conscious of the fact that Jesus did so much teaching about the kingdom is like this, the kingdom is like that. It's like a man who went out and scattered seeds. It's like a man who had a vineyard, you know. And Jesus is giving these parables or these pictures of little snippets of what the kingdom is like, trying to decode it, trying to break it down so that we can understand what the kingdom's about. And this is what it's about. It's about bringing us into alignment with the ways that the kingdom operates and the ways that God wants things to happen. It's also the fact that the heaven is spiritual and earth is natural. And we're trying to muddle through this as well, because there's things happening in the physical, but they're actually happening in the spiritual as well. There's stuff and there's powers and principalities and that happening behind them. So we're trying to bring about all this stuff into God's way of operating. The thing I'm conscious of is where Jesus was and walked, there was the kingdom. And now we have Jesus in our lives. We are his ambassadors. So we are actually living out the kingdom. And the challenge for us is living in a way that's consistent with the kingdom. And so that's what this prayer is getting at. It's bring us into alignment with your ways, God. And then there's verses that talk about what is bound in heaven is bound on earth, and what's released on heaven, in earth is released in heaven. And so there's all this coming in. We have this power to pray and to, in accordance with God's will. Again, it's not, we're not just to run amok. We have to be, it has to be in accordance with God's ways and God's will and his desires. But we're praying through this stuff. So it's a call for me and you to submit our daily pursuits for the pursuits of the kingdom. Isn't that cool? We'll move on. Verse 11. Give us today our daily bread. Our daily bread in this context is what we need for today's journey. And I was thinking, what does it mean? Like, what does it mean when we're talking about daily bread? And there's bread is spoken of repeatedly through the Bible. We're going to break bread very soon. We're going to do communion together. We're going to break bread. Jesus' body was bread. So that's one context. Another context that I'm conscious of is in Exodus, when the children of Israel departed from Egypt, they went into the desert and they had 1,001 groans and moans and complaints for God. And one of them, I don't know why, but it was, we're hungry. You know, did you bring us all this way to kill us off out here, you know? And so God supplied a thing called manna, which was, it was a white thing like bread, or it was called, I think it was bread of heaven, and it formed on the ground, and they were commanded how they were to gather it and how it was to be stored and how long it was to be used for. And so they were commanded that they were to go out and gather it up in the morning and use it through the day, and then the next day there would be fresh manna. And they were told that it was only for that day. But Israel being Israel decided they would do differently. And so they tried saving some over for the next day. And when they went to get it, it was full of worms. And so it was not fit to be eaten. So they had to learn to gather it on the day for the day. And so my mind kind of thought of that, you know, give us this day our daily bread, what we need. So we need to be coming to God and saying, you know, give us this day our daily bread, what we need for our journey, not living on yesterday's bread. It's got to be fresh revelation. It's got to be fresh encounter with God on a day by day. You can't carry on today. Yesterday is great. Church last week was great, but today is what matters. going forward as matters. The Bible doesn't say sing an old song, it says sing a new song. And so we're always looking forwards and we're always pushing for a fresh revelation. And based on old, you know, I'm not saying that we throw the old out. You don't know where you're going if you don't know where you've been. You know, so we get sightings and that from it, but we are going forward in God. So give us this day our daily bread. The next verse. And forgive us our debts, trespasses, sins, as we have also forgiven our debtors. This is about having short accounts with God. It's a great time to stop and pause and just do a heart check. Have I got people I'm holding stuff towards? Have I got to forgive people? You know, so there is a huge blockage that will come in our hearts and our minds and our relationship with God, and it's sin, but it's also unforgiveness towards others. So stopping, checking, forgiving people is a good way to proceed. Because Jesus says if you don't forgive others, he won't forgive us. So we need to forgive to be forgiven. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is about God's protection and his guidance and trust. God is leading us. We don't get up in the morning and we just go from mistake to mistake or disaster to disaster or incident to incident. God is leading us through stuff. Now, we encounter a whole bunch of stuff. That's not to say that if I'm driving into Lane Park Church and I drive through a pothole and the wheel on the car gets mangled and bent out of shape, that was God's fault. It's a thing called life. We are in a world where stuff happens. And it doesn't mean that God has made it happen. But God journeys through us and through what has happened and gives us an opportunity to journey with him and become deeper people through the experience. So God's not a magician. He doesn't wave his wand and nothing bad happens to us. That's fairyland. In the real world, real stuff happens, and real stuff happens to people. We know people who get sick. We know, you know, there's all kinds of stuff happens in this world. But we journey with God despite the outcome. We go through it. Matthew 26, verse 41 says, keep watching and praying so that you do not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus said this to his disciples when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he went away to pray and said, pray with me. And then he went away and prayed and he came back and found them asleep. And he said this to them. And I was thinking about it, you know, we can get, you know, at times we get kind of, we just get tired and we get sleepy and we have a bit of a doze off in that. But we need to, in the spirit, stay alert and stay watchful and know what's happening around us in that. Because Jesus says, you know, pray and watch so we don't come into temptation. So we always need to be coming back and focusing on God. So with this prayer, I've used it as a basis for the way I approach God, the way I pray through scenarios. I always start with, obviously, in order. But from that, you see, I have segued out into parts. So our Father who art in heaven, I've used that as a chance to just praise God. I just will spend time telling him how amazing he is. He's the creator of the universe and the world and everything. And I just go through every single point as it goes and then move out. And whatever comes to mind and just pray intentionally. There may be people to pray for through that. And you just move through it. So I found it a really rich time in prayer. And I just want to move through now some just a few thoughts around prayer as well and a few scriptures. So James 5 verse 13 to 15 says, are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. That's not bad advice really, eh? What do you think? You know, have any of you got anything gone wrong? You should pray. Good idea. That's good. It's good advice. James was clearly quite a smart guy, I reckon. You don't sound so convinced. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Do you know when we come to church, we start with happy clappy songs. We start with what's called praise. Why? In the same way that the Lord's Prayer starts. If you study the way that is set down in the Bible and it's repeated a number of times throughout the Bible, when we come to God, we praise. We recognize his bigness, we recognize his goodness, we recognize he's the creator of the universe, we recognize that he's created everything, he is over every power and principality and every spirit. There's nothing bigger than God. He's it. So we come out of that victory and then we pray and then we can start trickling down to bringing requests, but it comes out of victory. Not these things are going really badly, God, and I'm so overwhelmed by it, and can you feel and hear? It just changes the whole tone. So it allows faith to arise, because the Bible says that we're to pray with faith, we're to pray with great faith, faith filled. Believing that God can do it. And I don't find this hard, because I think there's people that are given the gift of faith. And I think I just have never struggled with this. But I've seen some incredible miracles happen. And so I just know. It's not like, you know, like some people say, you need faith. I don't feel like I need faith. I've seen enough that I know. It's not like I'm sitting down on the chair. I've jumped up and down on the chair. I know it's not going to fall. You know, it's that kind of belief that I feel I have. Just because I've seen so much stuff happen in people's worlds that I just know when we pray, God can do. And the next question is, is it his will, or does he want to deal with it another way? And that's really what it is. But when we pray, the victory is there. Are you sick? You should call for the elders of the church and come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you've committed any sins, you will be forgiven. So just a couple of thoughts, because we're going to pray in a few minutes. We should pray with faith. I've already said that, but I want to say it again. We should pray with faith. Jesus got a bit ticked with the disciples. And in Mark 1, it says that he appeared to the 11 followers while they were eating, and he criticized them because they had such little faith. That's because people saw him and went back and told them repeatedly that they had seen Jesus alive, and they still didn't believe. So it wasn't, because I know sometimes you can read these scriptures and you think, oh, you know, any time I'm lacking within myself, I'm really, you know, it's really bad. But I think we need to realize with some of these things, and this in particular, they were repeatedly, like it was a real, they were hardcore disbelieving, basically. They were choosing, they had all the evidence in front of them, and they were saying, no, we want to unbelieve. We want to disbelieve. We want to discount it. And Jesus got grumpy with them, and rightly so. Then he said, go everywhere in the world, tell the good news to everyone. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but those who do not believe will be judged guilty. And the people who believe will be able to do these things as proof. They will use my name to force out demons out of people. They will speak in languages they've never learned. That's what we call tongues. If they pick up snakes or drink any poison, they will not be hurt. I don't recommend you try that. They will lay their hands on sick people and they will get well. There you have it from Jesus. They will get well. That is how we pray. There's this guy, Oswald Chambers. He was a Baptist preacher, evangelist, teacher, incredible guy of the late 18s and early 1900s. He said this. He said, prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. Pretty incredible, eh? Prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. Point two, sometimes people don't get healed. Oh, that's a bit awkward. This is where we come back to God's will. God is always working to achieve things. So sometimes we pray for healings, and the Bible says that we should pray, and when we lay hands on people, they will recover. But I think the flip side is we give it to God. Our job is to pray. God's job is to decide what he wants to do. And he knows his will, and he knows why he wants to do something one way and why he wants to do it another way. And sometimes he chooses not to do something a certain way. And we need to get in step with being in touch with his will on earth as it in heaven. What is your will? Because it doesn't look like what I want. So either you're wrong or I'm wrong. And I'm going to say, if he wants to do something one way, I'm going to go that way because that's the right way to do it. So if I want to see something black but he wants it to be yellow, I'm going to go for yellow because I trust him more than I trust me. And I trust him more than I trust you. You know, it's the safe money is to go with God. But sometimes we might really, really want it to be black. So I think we just need to have the discipline to say, I will pray that it be black, but if it turns out to be yellow, then I'll accept that. There are reasons why a person may not be healed, and we will never know. Oswald Chambers again, because this is Oswald Chambers Week. International Oswald Chambers Week, I'm sure, somewhere. God never gives us discernment in order that we may criticize, but that we may intercede. So God never gives us discernment so that we can criticize a situation. It's so that we can pray into that situation more. It's our job to pray with full faith, and then we should trust God regardless of the outcome, on earth as it is in heaven. I was chatting with Bruce. I can't remember what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. It was around having questions for God. Why doesn't he do this way and that way? And because we're trying to solve the problems of the world in our office. And Bruce told this story, and I can't remember, I think you were reading a book, and it was in a book from memory, and it's this person who had all these questions, and they were planning to take it up with God. And then they had, if I recall correctly, and I'm my recollection is they had a vision of being with God in God's presence at a time where they could take it up with God and ask him all these questions. But once they were in God's presence, the questions didn't seem to matter anymore. It's incredible. And they won't. They won't matter anymore when their day comes. Philippians, I'm just winding up. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's good advice. If we have problems, reach out to God. Pray to God. Ask God. Gina, do you want to come and pray? Come and read.
Awesome. Thanks, darling. So what we're going to do now is we've got actually two people that we're going to pray for. Our beautiful sister Pip is going to come up and we, the elders, are going to gather around and anoint her with oil. And also Eric is also going to come up. We're going to pray for him and anoint him with oil as well. So Eric has found out that he has a cancerous growth in his head and he's got surgery Monday week, and he's going to have a 5-hour operation, and so we're going to pray for him and Anna, and Pip. Pip is I'm going to read this out on behalf of Pip. She's written this awesome note for us. Okay, she says, I have been diagnosed with terminal cancer, and I would like to ask that people would understand that. I feel at peace with this, and I believe that this is a gift because I can choose to be intentional with the time that I have. I want to live life in the moment, bless people, be quick to forgive and quick to love. I found it quite freeing as we think that we can control life, but we can't because things are out of our control anyway. I've done life with many of you at this church for 42 years, and I want to continue to do life with you all. We have celebrated, gone through tough times, and I've seen people's lives transformed by God. I would appreciate if you all treat me as you always have, that we continue to do life together, to cry, laugh, help each other, share problems, celebrate good things, because no one knows when they're going to die anyway. I don't want to be treated any different. I understand that not everyone will know what to say to me, and that's okay. I'm also asking for forgiveness in advance, as the medication I'm taking may cause me to be a bit blunt. This is not my intention. Thank you all for your kind offers of help, but we do not need anything at the moment. We would appreciate and love your prayers. We will reach out when needed because we know all of you are willing to help. I believe that God is with us even in life and death, and I feel very free and at peace. I've also always said the most important thing is that we love God and love people. Thank you for your understanding, Pip. And I can say when I met with Pip the other day, she's just in a great space. She's just free and full of joy. And, so if we can just appreciate her request that we don't be texting and visiting and just treat her as we always have and just pray. Just keep praying in your own time. Cool. So if you guys would like to come up. Oh, sorry.
So, thank you, darling. Leading on from this prayer that I shared, what do we pray? We pray a faith-filled prayer to God that God can heal Pip and Eric. Because God can. And we pray that God will. But we realize that it's in God's hands. And I'm comfortable with that. I remember hearing a quote that said, when man gives up, God can move. It's time for God to move. And so, Pip, will you come up, and Eric, you come up as well, buddy. And the elders, feel free to stand up. This is not going to be a performance. This is a family event. We are all here and we're all going to pray. So how about we all stand up, reach out hands, connect. It's not just the elders that will be praying, but all of us that will be praying. So we're to come and pray. Have you got the oil? Gina's got the oil and she's going to pop oil on, and we'll pray. So feel free to start praying, and we're just going to pray for a few minutes. So feel free to just reach out, connect, and just start praying.